Hello, everyone, and welcome to the new Attack of Opportunity. How has it changed from the old one? Well, we're still deciding, but I'm pretty sure I've left a bunch of my old habits behind. Probably not. But welcome to Attack of Opportunity. Today, we have a big chunk, several players, cast members from the Tavern Tales live play D&D podcast. And I got to ask why they use the live play as opposed to the technical term. That's actually an actual play podcast. But we'll get back to that later. Guys, I'm talking to Paige, Mary Claire, and Aaron from Tavern Tales. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I think Aaron was about to clap there and he hit his microphone. Yay, we're here.
Yeah, probably.
Lifted my hands to wave.
It was Mary Claire, sorry.
So if podcasting behaviors.
Sorry.
Waving
your arms about. If you're an animated person like me, I'm constantly searching for the ultimate microphone arm that kind of comes right at you and gives you as much room, leg, head bobbing space, you know, whatever you need to tell a story as a DM. Because sure enough, right? And you put all this time and money and mic discipline into this. And then you've got four players that just like, when I'm talking, when they're playing, it's like, come on, man. You have this tiny microphone. It's 6 feet from you. Why are you hitting it? Sorry. That's a little pet peeve of mine. But guys, let's start with our first instigator. We'll say Mary Claire Gould. Who got my attention
Hello.
By banging her microphone. How did you first know you were a geek, a nerd, one of us?
I didn't really have a choice. My dad actually was a writer, creator of role-playing games in the 80s. And so I was literally born into it. He had published his first role-playing game before I was born. It was called Chivalry and Sorcery, and it was second to D&D in the 80s, which is like nothing existed back then, so it wasn't hard. And I've basically RPG'd my whole life. So I didn't like, it's like, I've never had a choice.
It's like those, poor Southern, little ladies that mom puts you on, like pageants. You go from pageant to pageant, right? It's like, I don't want this kind of thing. So you've had like this RPG, this dramatic forced upon you type of thing.
Like, so Chivalry and Sorcery was a very, high fantasy RPG, but like when I was in grade four, he ran a game of West End games, Star Wars RPG for me and my friends. So it's like that Star Wars, Vampire the Masquerade, kind of all of the White Wolf games in the 80s I would play with my friends, D&D, both Second Ed, all the way through. I've played every single version of that. I've played multiple versions of RPGs as a playtester. When Chivalry and Sorcery was rebranded in the 90s, I'm actually listed as a playtester on that. Like, it's just...
It goes on and
on. My whole life.
Wow. No, that's impressive.
It's rare, especially for women. I know.
Impressive. Yes. That's, I'm so glad I asked you here. Aaron, you got some boots to fill, buddy. Can you, let's hear Aaron's stuff. Just right to the guy.
Not
right?
Those kind of.
No pressure.
Yeah. No pressure there, Aaron. What have you play tested, Aaron?
Nothing. I have not play tested anything. No, for me, I started when I was very young. It goes back to, you know, my uncle was in IT, and a lot of times when he was living with my grandparents, I would just be downstairs playing on his computer, old games, you know, Quake 2, Duke Nukem, Unreal Tournament, things like that. And it kind of evolved over the years. All of the friends I kind of associate myself with are geeks and nerds, Magic the Gathering, you name it. So, yeah, for me, it's been pretty much my entire life.
Oh, okay.
Obviously not as extensive as
professional
someone
yes,
to the right of
yes,
me,
yes.
But I'm still there.
And Paige.
Yeah, I definitely am probably the most inexperienced of our group, but I all started with World of Warcraft was my first game. I started playing in vanilla, I think, when I was in grade five, and I pretty much have played it since. I actually was just playing last night. I just got my mom on board. It's so funny. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But I was playing World of Warcraft, and then I met Kyle and Marie Claire through theater. So I'm a really big community theater person. And I'd always been interested in playing D&D. And I told Kyle that. And one day I came over to his house and he had set up a D&D game in his basement. And that was basically the beginning of my D&D history.
I didn't even play in that one.
Yeah,
I was like busy.
Kyle called us over and he's like, "Hey, I have a surprise for you, Paige. Come downstairs." And he had the whole kind of setup thing. And he's like, "All right, let's throw some dice. Let's get
going." I got so excited, and now we've played pretty much every weekend for 3 years.
That spawns a little tangential story. I know I was promised I'd be good, but one thing besides RPGs, we are in our early to mid 20s, and some of the guys introduced me to Axis and Allies, which is sort of like a little bit more complicated version of Risk with the World War II, but it literally has tiny little plastic tanks and planes and stuff, and we loved it. But the original gaming board is so small, and you have all these pieces. So this is like in the 90s, before it was so easy to do anything in color on your printer. We paid like $1.25 per 8x11 page and color photocopied the board and blew it up four times. So now you can fit four of these Hasbro boards into the giant board that we made. And I took it to the basement. We all set up, got all the guys over. And then like the guy that introduced us all to it, Dan Illman, we brought him down, and then we had someone take a picture of his face when he saw it, and he just hung his head in like so happy he would cry confusion that we built this and he got to play on it. Just this sort of this is great picture of him going, you know, looking at this giant board that we made. So sorry, Paige, that like when you said, "Yeah, we all surprised Paige," it kind of like set off ye memories.
It was basically that moment. I got very excited. It was great.
And then they're like, "Oh yeah, and you can play either the cleric or the rogue," because
I think they were doing Lost Mines of Phandalver, and they played like the very generic characters that come in that. So it was very like intro to D&D setup.
Because it was your first time playing at that point.
All I knew is what I saw in movies and TV shows, and it was nothing like that.
It was nothing like
that. It was great.
Seeing the old Conan movie maybe, or the old or Willow or anything, and everyone wants to be Mad Mardigan, that kind of thing. And then you're like, no, you have to roll this and do this and move here and step here. Yeah, it's a nightmare. So in an opening explanation, you guys have like answered three of my opening questions. So let's see if I can't go off the board here a little bit and ask you something specific. Back to our professional Mary Claire. When you first...
It's more like a nerd princess, because like I inherited it, right?
I love
like,
it, nerd princess.
Right? Like that's more what it is. Like I had no choice. I was born into this.
A nerd heir.
Heiress to the nerddom.
That's going.
I didn't really have a choice.
Can I have that? That's going on a mug for my daughter, Princess. We recently got my daughter Alexandria to game with us and play an NPC that I'm supposed to play, but as a female rogue in the Hell's Vengeance Evil campaign, and they loved her. Mm-hmm. They're like, "She's awesome!" Like
kids value a lot, like add a lot of value because they don't have those barriers to saying yes to things and sometimes just like take things in new directions. And it's much like when Paige started out as new, she didn't have any of the preconceived notions about role playing. And although we've beaten those into her over the past 3 years.
Well,
she's amazing things because she came from this theater background and it's more like imagination / improv rather than, you know, hey, this is the way things should happen. Because many times when you've been a lifelong role player, you end up kind of sticking into these guide rails, these like social conventions, like you don't split the party, you don't do X, you know, like you get these unconscious rules into your head.
You're not supposed to jump off a waterfall.
Supposed to jump off the waterfall.
Search every room, search every body. Well, sorry, just
10-foot pools.
Just to clarify, my daughter's 24. She's not like a wee and new, but however,
still new.
However, the first time we got my stepdaughter playing, she was 16, and they went down a well. They went up into this air bubble, found a secret hallway. My wife's playing the rogue, and she's playing this bard swashbuckler. And the wife accidentally sets off a gas trap, And the village had given them water breathing potions to go down into the well. And the first, like you said, that sort of unfiltered mind of just brand new and open to anything. She says, well, is that potion you gave us still working? I said, yeah. She's like, I breathe my water skin.
Mm.
And we all just went.
So smart.
You know, and I'm like, I'm going to tell that story forever. And then she stopped playing. But that's okay.
She might come back.
No, no.
She hears it enough.
No. Too busy. But you guys are so like the RPG, the Quake game that slowly, hopefully, becomes Baldur's Gate. Aaron, maybe, you know, if we're lucky, that kind of thing. The Mary Claire going, I don't care about your math grade. Show me your drama score. You know, that kind of thing going on in her life, and then Paige gets to be the charming noob where we're like, you know, you know, get off the unicorn virgin princess nerd princess and come down here and like roll these dice. No, not my dice. You'll contaminate them. Not my dice. Your dice. Buy your own. You're not a player. You buy your own dice. That kind of thing going on. What made you guys decide to start making content like that? Because that's like, oh, you could have pizza night. Like, it's nerd poker. It's everyone comes over and like, I've done it. We've done it. Everybody does it. You know, what crazy person decided to like, hey, let's just share our personal crap with the world and put microphones in front of us that you have to stay up
on? It's all Kyle.
Yeah, I was going to say Kyle.
Yeah, it's all Kyle. And I can tell the story. So we used to do, like, we've been role playing as a couple, like pretty much since we got together. He played in high school with his friends. You know, they would have these massive like weekend, you know, RPGs, like they're playing GURPS or something like that all weekend. Like, so, you know, maybe less commonly known RPGs. They would play all weekends, have a sleepover, eat pizza all weekend. We don't do that as a couple. We would have like, you know, these like, you know, 6-8 hour sessions, like all afternoon into the evening, stop for dinner, make like a really good dinner, have chips, all of these things. But what we were finding was, and this might not be one of the reasons that he decided to do this, but we were finding like maybe people weren't as focused. So like in an 8 hour session, you're not really getting through as much stuff, you know, because you're like not focused for that period of time. And he found like if we recorded it, it would maybe not be as quality or as focused for that period of time. Or if we recorded it, we would be focused for that period of time. There's no chips, there's no pizza, there's no stopping for food.
Yeah, casual
you're
gaming.
Focused
yeah,
for
yeah,
like
yeah.
3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. You're not just hanging out and gaming. Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, I think in his mind, like, oh, we could get better quality out of that if we wanted to record this. But really, this all kind of started from an inspiration of both Kyle and I really got into a podcast at the time, and then it eventually became a streaming show, and unfortunately they've stopped since then, called Critch Juice. And they're a Californian-based group of improvisers, professional improvisers, with David Crennan as the DM. And what they would do is anytime they rolled a critical hit or a critical fail, they would drink and record it and then try to edit that. And we're like, okay, so if they can do this drunk, we can at least record ours and edit it and make it like nice and successful. And so he went into this like, I don't know, it felt like 2 months long research and like asking people that he, you know, we have a group of podcasting friends on Twitter that we all hang out with. We actually have a DM group that we, you know, share advice and all of that stuff. And he basically built what we do from a podcasting perspective from scratch and then said, hey, we're going to do this. We had two other people when we started, but they had a life stuff going on. One had to move away. But it's been us three players from the beginning with Kyle. And we've gone through, you know, Tales from the Yawning Portal from the start. And then we take breaks to do Dungeon in a Box, which is written by David Crennan, tie back to Crit Juice, who is the, you know, is the DM from that. He creates Dungeon in a Box. So we do kind of a Tale from the Yawning Portal and then a module from Dungeon in the Box. And then we continue on.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So try to be all encompassing, a little bit of a variety as opposed to most casts I talk to, they have like one show and they're excited about their new show and they don't have a concept of what tragically happened with us, where we tried to start a show and it never really took off. And then Rogue One came out. We went, okay, Mummy's Mask can wait. Let's play Star Wars. And we started playing and it was so relaxed and we had so much fun. It's like, well, this is easy. We could do another one and another one and another one. And here we are trying to spin like six shows and be a network. And it's just like, what have we done? And they're like, no, Jeff, what have you done? You did this to us.
What have you done?
What are we playing tonight? They'd have no, you know, what are we doing? Ah, there's all this stuff going on. But I do feel your joy that you could sort of like, you're going along with this. You appreciate another podcast that inspires you and you take a little bit from it. And then you're also, like I said, you got the Twitter and stuff going with the DMs. You're also trying to give back to the community, that little bit of inspiring give and take. And I really, I'm someone that really appreciates that. And I hope the listeners, at least the content creators, get it, because I certainly do. I'm not even going to ask.
Yeah, part of it is just being there for other content creators that are starting up too, because it is very much a mentorship community. If you don't mentor other people, then there isn't, you know, other content creators out there.
Oh, you know?
And it people quit out of this because it's hard. It is hard to continuously do, because you have to make time for it, have the focus on it. And then Kyle puts like so much work into it. He's not sitting here because he feels bad bragging about himself, but you'll get him on the show eventually.
It was Kyle himself. I initially reached out to and set up stuff and talked about cast versus DM interview versus everyone, how many you can have at once. And, you know, even we might even talk about, well, I kind of want it to be a bit of surprise, the original, you know, the Tales Junior that we're planning in the future. But for right now, we'll stay focused on you guys. I'm not even going to ask Aaron to top that story. No, well, pretty much the same answer.
I don't think like, they know.
You guys are doing this as a cast, and like I said, your DM and yourselves are all involved in, like I said, with this community stuff. But I have to ask next official question. I will ask Aaron, is where do you guys create your content from? Like I could see you for the podcasting listening audience, they can't see you, but for our YouTube audience and Twitch, when I stream this later, I can see, you know, three lovely young people with a cream background, a gaming room, the television, the mini shelf above Mary Claire. Like, you're obviously in the gaming room. You're obviously in Nerve Central and in the same room. Where does the magic happen? Where do you guys actually create your content from?
So yeah, we're at Kyle and Marie Claire's house every Sunday for the past 3 years in their basement.
Yeah. Well, it looks like
we built a TV room and it we ended up just putting up two like folding tables, kind of. We made a theater room, but there's like lots of extra space for the giant TV that's behind me. You can see it. It's quite big.
Which I think I've only ever seen on once.
Yeah.
Since the whole time I've ever come over to your guys' place, I think it's only been on once.
No, just because the gaming tables were always in the way.
Yeah, no.
We literally have to move them out of the way.
I don't even think it works. I think it's just
it's just decoration.
Yeah, be happy. He doesn't have his laptop hooked up to it going, and this, you know, he's like flashing artwork going, and this is what you see, you know, that type of thing to help.
I tried to convince him. He was like, no, that's too much. Yeah,
he wasn't on board with that. We're like, this is like, nah.
Okay. Without giving like a street address, where are you guys located?
Oh, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Really? Oh, more Canadian content for me to plug. Oh, goody.
Go Flames.
Actually, when I first reached out to Kyle at Tavern Tales, he wasn't splashy about being a fellow Canadian. I didn't know. And for some reason in my head, 5th edition, for me, always like, oh, they're American. Don't ask me why. I don't. It's a great game, and I know Canadian content creators apply. I don't know. But I do notice that Mary Claire's rocking an awesome hoodie with that sort of orange or faded, you know, and it seems to be reminiscent of the
Gen Con last year.
Of the colors in your logo here. We got this lovely logo up of, it looks like the end of a giant keg with a tap. You know, like, how taverny can you get? It's even on that sort of shaped wood post stand, you know, and it's Tavern Tales, live play.
I made that.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. That's why I posted it here. It's just like, now there's a logo. It's actually one of the things that drew me to contacting Kyle. Because when you're searching for guests, you know, you vet them a little bit. But I try not to look at numbers like, well, how many followers they have or whatever. what they say, their bio, an interesting picture, the artwork, like something that really grabs you or that I personally find interesting or funny, it's like, that's the person that I, you know, that gets the email. It's like, hi, would you please be on the show? You know, this, I really love this, your logo. I really love your, you know, concept. Or they're like, five friends. It's not a sausage fest. We promise. There are real women. We're not just playing women, you know, that kind of thing in the room, but you know, like something interesting, something unique, you know, whether it's they have a 9-year-old at the table or they have their grandmother at the table. Recently interviewed the D&D grandma, and it's Vince and his entire family, brother-in-law, and their 74-year-old grandma playing. I tell you, this is a legit show, and this type of thing is just, it's so adorkable, I just cannot resist. That's my wife's word.
That's Paige now. Yeah. Adorkable.
Well, adorkable. Yeah. Yeah, it's adorable, but in a nerdy way. You become adorable. You've never heard that? Oh, it's canon.
No.
No? Wife uses it all the time. So, okay, well, how about a question for Paige? Since they labeled you the resident noob, right? And you truck over here. And like I said, it used to be the gaming hour and then the mic.
The only reason it started happening was because of you. Because you wanted to play D&D regularly. We hadn't been playing for a while. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And then I can't be contained in one room. I must be on the internet, Paige says. And Star's born? Is that how it went down?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, because your personality is like that, like the stage, right? Yeah. Well, this is just a bigger stage.
It's a bigger platform.
Yeah.
You know how you can tell a bubbly person? And I kid you not, they actually draw in artwork a bubbly person, okay, have the upside down, sideways, half moon for eyes. The bottom of their eyes crescends up, and they have that big cheeky kind of look to them. And they're like the most amazing person
in
the
world. It's you.
Sorry, I studied photography when I was in high school, and a lot about portrait and, you know, definite and type of thing. And it's just... something I found that, you know, the most bubbly person in the room have this expression, and then it transfers into anime and artwork where they just have this sort of look with the cheeks going up, right?
That's funny.
Sorry, please take it as a compliment. So let's talk about, you guys are on the internet, you know, you've been doing this. How long have you guys been creating content, Paige?
I think it's been about 3 years. I think
this summer will be 3 years.
Yeah, this summer. We've done game after game every Sunday. It's been really great for me as a new player to jump back and forth between doing Tales of the Yawning Portal and Dungeon in a Box, because it gives me an opportunity to try and create new characters. I don't even know how many characters I've made at this point, but I definitely have my favorites and I definitely have my not so favorites. But yeah, it's been about 3 years.
Yeah.
And I still have so many questions.
Yeah.
But when they
Kyle in the beginning was like, please learn what your powers do. Like, that's like, that'll just help. So you're not like, let me just look this up. There's still a lot of
looking up.
Yeah, but that's D&D, right?
I know.
It's not actual D&D if you're not having to like look up the rules and like, cause like the other day when like your Divine Smite.
Yeah.
You had to like look it up.
Well, yeah. It doesn't help when you do something that you don't expect and it breaks something in the game.
Yeah.
And you have to see what the impact was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like that rock bracelet you had.
Oh, yeah. And I turned myself to stone.
Yeah. And we had to figure out like how the spell actually would play out because it got reflected back on you.
Yeah, it was weird.
Mm-hmm. And the DM withholds the book unless you all make arcana checks and things. Like, no, you're not looking this up because your character wouldn't know. The players get to know unless you roll your dice, that kind of thing. Oh, is that just me? Okay. I'd be that mean. No, that's great. But, you know, there's got to be something to be said when you're podcasting, because I got to ask, do you guys just edit this? Oh, we lost Paige. I scared her away. Oh, she's back.
It just went on to low power mode.
Oh, okay. Everyone's moved around. I have to change all my logos. No, that's fine. The first rule, of course, in the books are like, you know, don't read this, you know, just play type of thing. And if someone has an interesting way of applying a spell or whatever, you know, but you are doing the DM a favor. I got to ask, though, like, because you guys podcast and edit or whatever, do you just cut that time out when you're looking up rules? Because something we did is there's the joke about a rules lawyer. So I actually have one. in several of my games, because I'm jamming so many, I have a different player as the rules lawyer for, and so that you don't have one guy that's biased. It's like, okay, in Star Wars, your job is ships. You look up everything on the Force. You look up everything on crafting weapons. You look up it, right? I'll read the whole thing kind of front to back really quickly and read the adventure, and we go. And I'll read on combat and feats and stuff, right? And so we have someone that's like an expert in a certain field of the book. When we got to Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and we have so many shows, I just gave it to one guy. So we're playing and we just like, so, Joe, what's the rule on this? You know, and we're confusing the audience because they're like, who's DMing here? Why are you letting a player, you know, like rules lawyer? It's like, I don't know. I have final say. If I don't like what I hear, you know.
We're spoiled. Kyle cuts out all of that when he edits. Occasionally, Paige edits as well.
I like to keep little things in. entertainment value.
And Aaron's learning how to edit, so
I'll be taking a stab at it.
I'm gonna be teaching him after the game that we're playing today.
Well, shout out Audacity.
There's
free software to edit.
That's what I use OBS and Audacity, and you know, nothing best, and still learning things about them, you know, because like who has time to like learn the actual technicals? Like, I'll learn as I go, you know. And it's like, damn, 3 years in, and if only I'd known this when I started to make something sound so much better, or make the editing time so much less. Because when you start off in editing, it takes up all your time. And now it's like, I'm spinning five plates. Look at all these shows I got going, you know, for all these little tricks you learn. Anyway, I digress. You guys are really close to my heart with your answers and just, you know, jerking a tear. Like, yes, I get it. I totally get what you guys are going through every time. But I shouldn't go off page so much. Coming back around to, here's a fun question. Let's start with Mary Claire again. Do you have obviously there's the ones that you are playing in the show, but you have this history of role playing with friends and family and husband and stuff. And so looking back over the years, including what they expect you to play just for good podcasting, do you have a go-to favorite, you know, class or race or alignment or personality type that you like to play?
Like from D&D?
Yeah, like just from RPGs.
Yeah. If like classic Vampire the Masquerade, I'm going to change on you.
No, that's fine.
I really like to play like Tremere. So like the witch type, you know, blood magic people in Vampire the Masquerade. For D&D, we were actually just talking about this upstairs. Like, I never used to play paladins. I always hated them. And now, like, in the last 5 years, I've played two. So I think I'm getting into paladins.
Getting into the one.
I very much like the dichotomy of playing a paladin that is one of the kind of more cursor, infernal influenced races, because it's like you're trying to do good, but you're actually kind of cursed. So, like, a tiefling paladin is really interesting to me because it's got this balance of you're actually this infernal creation from a blood perspective, but you're trying to do good. Maybe if you're playing a good paladin.
Yeah, no. Back when Dragon Magazine was still a magazine and Dungeon Magazine was dropping, which Guilty used to buy them, they had a contest and was like, give us a concept. And the winner was a succubus paladin and explained how she, you know, flipped over and all that kind of stuff. And it was just, everyone loved it. Like the most curvaceous seduction. But it's like, no, you have a huge charisma score and now you're doing it for, you know, for goodness and despite
for God, like in that you're building a character that has you know, driving motivation and conflict internally, and so that can influence how you play to make yourself, you know, more interesting when it comes through. And you can't get into your backstory all the time, especially when you're playing like dungeons. Like that's hard because you're only playing that character for a set amount of time as you're going into the dungeon and a little bit of like the epilogue. But generally speaking, it helps you like play that character very truthfully if you have a lot going on and you use those lenses to influence how you interact with the different scenarios that you come across.
No, I totally agree. The black and white paladin is a big yawn. It's like you don't pop out of the womb going, ha ha. No, you're like, here's someone that's chosen to lead by example and be this paragon and hide his faults or her faults or hide, you know, and try to like always by example. We should do this. I'm going to do this. What, you know, the type of, and they just
or own them, right? And be like, not everybody has the right upbringing, but they can make choices.
Yeah, like imagine like there's always the rogue and the paladin doesn't trust the rogue, and some like, you know, the wizard's missing his invisibility ring. They all look at the rogue, you know, and then there's a misconception of a paladin just running off going, ha ha, rogue, I have your boot. What are you going to do about it? I have the boot, you know, running around. It's like, yeah, well, you really got me, dude. You stole my boot. Wow, that's criminal. You should be locked up. I'm heading to jail now. You know, no, it's still, there's a lot of, even the parody aspect, but sorry, I do appreciate what you're trying to say. This is not a good interview for me. You guys are doing great. Me, not so much. So what about you, Aaron? Do you have a go-to, or like, whether it's a personality type or a favorite alignment or, you know, a favorite class or a race that you just...
So this doesn't come from D&D, but it was one of the most favorite characters I ever played. It was a character based off of the 70s cover model Fabio that would be on like all the women's romance novels. And I had just shoved all of my points into charisma. And so, and I think he was a fighter, but he didn't have any weapons. And so all he would do to like attack would be like comb his hair or flex. And I remember one fight we did, there was like 50 harpies coming at us, and I rolled a crit and I just flexed and I blew them all up. And the DM, she was just sitting there. She's like, you just wiped out the whole army with one flex. I'm like,
hey, it's Fabio.
It's Fabio. That's what he does.
There's an actual legitimate character class released to Pathfinder that was sponsored by Old Spice, you know. That type of thing?
Yes.
Called the Gentleman Class. Called the Gentleman Class. Dude, you should read it because it is so good.
The Gentleman Class.
It's so fabulous. Okay, it's so good. Yep.
You're going to try to play that next time?
Sure. One of my favorite memes.
If I can just flex?
No, the stuff the guy does is awesome. There's my favorite meme. Like, they always have D&D or role-playing memes. The absolute best one I've ever seen is, it says, if you have enough ranks in bluff, you do not need a base attack score. And it's like... a whole group of heads, like it's all hunting hounds, like packed, you know, cheek to cheek, running, and right in the center, acting like them, is a fox. And it's like, if you have enough ranks in bluff, you don't need combat. Just so. Anyway,
that's
sorry.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so fun. I'll never forget it to this day.
Right on. So Paige, of the, you know, two cold characters you've ever played in your short career, what's your favorite? No, sorry.
You're in a few now because we're in into dungeons.
No, is there a concept? Yeah. Like, so some people ask this question, they're like, well, I don't care about race or class, but I love playing chaotic neutral. Oh, really? What a surprise. No. Or they're like, oh, I just love dwarves, or they love, you know.
Acting too, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I, like, even with D&D and World of Warcraft and League of Legends that I play, I always pick the same kind of characters, and I know I am a magic ranged player. It's just what I enjoy.
Sure.
So every single character I pretty much go towards is a ranged magic something or other, which is a lot of fun. I like being away and not directly in combat. I like doing stuff on the outside and making things happen that people don't expect. Which happens a lot.
I'm going to add that to my question, like the a tactical build. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm adding that to my question. And Paige,
I know how to play those. I'm comfortable with them, and I feel like that makes me a stronger player when I know those ones.
Yeah, that's two for Paige. You know, none for the rest of you. Come on, guys. The newbies.
What did I say about new players?
Exactly.
I win.
That's great. That's true. She did call it. So. Obviously, in these times, I do hate to date a podcast. I'm not going to ask you about going to conventions and gatherings and where people can meet you. But what about social media? Back to Mary Claire, where can we find you online? Facebook, Twitter, you know, handles personally and for the actual podcast. Where's your social presence at? Where can we find you?
Sure. So I'm Marie C. Gould is my personal Twitter. And then for the podcast, it's Tavern_Tales. And that's primarily where you can find us. We also have a Facebook group. That's primarily where you can find us is those three locations for me. And then I have a more successful, I'm just not even trying to brag. I'm just commentary. I have a more successful Star Wars podcast. That's Kyle went to Catacon last year, and he was like, I have a D&D actual play podcast, but my wife has a more successful Star Wars podcast. And I was, he literally introduced, I was like, what are you doing?
That buzz just all over us.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
Get him a
t-shirt. Which is called What the Force.
Get him a t-shirt that's got his logo, you know, like the crest size over the breast.
Yeah.
And then the other entire half of the shirt is your logo. And then under the crest, pointing the one way, it's like I'm with her. You know, that kind of.
That's a good one. Well, and he does like so much more work for this podcast. And yeah, it's just Star Wars was really big when I started. And the only reason I started the Star Wars podcast was because we'd already been doing this for 6 months and we had all the stuff. So
please don't say it comes so easy to you. Those of us who are still small and work so hard hate that. We really do.
Yeah. So hard. It's not an RPG podcast. It's a discussion podcast where we talk about kind of everything under the sun to do with Star Wars. And now he's officially on it too. So we're talking about the Clone Wars.
See, it's a different genre. It doesn't count, Kyle. You can stop crying into your pillow. Okay. So he's really going to hate when we finally get him on for the next interview. He's just going to be like, he's going to have a list of stuff he wants to discuss with you, Jeff. You know, that kind of thing.
I'd like to set this straight.
Yeah, exactly. So many things I want to set straight before we begin the actual interview, Mr. Ball. So you've got a talk show about Star Wars. You've got Tavern Tales, and you already discussed about going back to your Crit Juice inspired, you know, the in the box. Mm-hmm. What's your latest project? What's not the future project that you're discussing hasn't even like met the table. Like, just what's your latest, greatest thing you got going on right now?
Oh, I wrote an audio drama called Fangirls. Ooh. And had that acted out. And yeah, that's me personally, but for...
No, it's fine. No, Aaron, can you top
podcast.
That?
Podcast. Yeah, I also did that. Yeah.
Okay. Which we participated in.
We did
participate. Yes, you guys both participated. They both acted in because, you know, you've got voice actors basically sitting around a table.
Yeah, free ones.
I wrote and directed an actual play or an audio drama as well.
No, it's fine. It's really the only way Aaron's gonna ever break out with Under Your Genius. It's fine.
He's so quiet around the D&D table too.
Yes, okay, that is a normal thing. I am the quietest at the game and in the table.
Yes.
So.
Yes, but when you do when you do speak up, man, you've got that rich coffee house voice.
Funny.
I love it. It's just like, and my character.
Well, it's tough because a large portion of the people at the D&D table all have some sort of acting
or
theater
musical
background.
Musical performance. Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm just this sweaty nerd who is here. So,
I can confirm that.
Everybody has their thing. Okay. I was talking about a rules lawyer. Okay. So my friend Joe Gibson, who very recently joined the cast, doesn't do voices. You know, he's the tactician. He loves party tactics and plays it right. But he lights up when you get him talking about rules and explaining it. And so that's one of the reasons we made him rules lawyer is when he plays, he's like, I do this, right? But you ask him to explain a rule, and he says, well, and then he just lights up. You know, you'll find your niche, Aaron. Don't worry. Like, don't.
I'll find my place. I kind of do that with our Magic the Gathering group because they're all kind of new and I'm more experienced in it. So I know a majority of the rules.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
You get one camera shot straight down on the cards on the table, you know, and just make sure that the camera, your head's a little bit bigger than theirs, and they'll listen. They'll flock, you know. If you shoot it, they
I
will
could
come.
Do instructional videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
Dude's got
I love it.
Dude's got chops. Like, for the podcasting audience, I am looking at Clark Kent Beauty on his day off. You just take the last two guys that played Superman, add some stubble, and just like he's the sweaty nerd brother of Clark Kent. I'm telling you, like the guy's got the smile, the short cropped hair.
It's there.
You know, it just I really hate putting myself on video with such pretty people, but I'm just making it look better, dude. I'm just saying, you add me and you look awesome. And I kind of feel bad for constantly insulting it. I just latched on to something Mary Claire said at the beginning. I just won't let go. So let's talk about Paige. What have these guys got going on for the future? Because I know you'll be excited and tell me stuff we're not supposed to hear. Quickly before they stop you. Paige. Oh, she doesn't know.
See, I feel like they don't tell me secrets because they know that I'll tell everyone secrets.
Oh, man, I was counting on that. I was counting on like some kind of spoiler.
I know that we're finishing up our existing dungeon in like maybe the next 3 years because we're going through it very slowly.
No.
Hidden Shrine of Tamachan.
Yeah.
We're finishing that. I think Kyle said we probably have...
He said like 12 more sessions, I think.
Yeah. We're very slow because we're...
Because we keep backtracking a lot and we do a lot of things that we shouldn't. And I think that's causing big delays.
And then I think we'll do another dungeon in a box.
Yeah, because that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it's always great. We always love people who listen into it because they like to hear how it plays through before they try it out sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then after that is White Plume Mountain.
That's one where everyone dies, I think.
No, that's Tomb of Horror.
Oh, okay.
We're still a couple away from that.
That's the one.
You had me at Hidden Shrine. I love those. Hidden Shrine at Tomoachan with the very first Naiad that they ever produced and introduced as a monster with the miniature city, like the Indiana Jones room. Like, it just,
oh my God, I'm in that room right now.
I love that adventure.
I don't know anything that's happening. Spoilers.
No, sorry.
No, but you got seduced by the Naiad.
Yeah, I did.
I was the one who turned her down. She was trying to make love to me.
I read somewhere that she was the very first Naiad ever like published, like in a D&D adventure. Cool. She's like, it's not like it was in a monster manual. They introduced the concept of this creature through that adventure, and then she ended up in books later.
Well, now I kind of feel bad turning her down
because she was like old,
and
classic.
Wow.
I didn't.
So old.
I did not listen.
You embraced every part.
And I got some.
Because that'll come out like in months.
And I got a special gift.
You got drowned. Yeah. That way.
So, you're pregnant.
Herpes
with child.
No, not
a special gift like herpes. Naiad.
I'll have to.
A Naiad STD that's just fatal to males under.
Yeah. The gift that keeps on giving.
Oh yeah. No, I just somebody did that at our table. They were like, yeah, I hear if I have a charisma. What was it? Charisma was like 14. He's like, you got to crunch these numbers for me, Jeff. I got to get my charisma 15. I'm like, why? You're like the wizard. He's like, or you're a druid. You don't really need charisma, but I'm really cool with this, right? Do you want to be charismatic? You could role play it. You know, you're dumping in a stat. You're going to be a broken druid. You're putting all this thing into the druid for charisma score. It's not needed. This is great. He's like, yeah, because 15 is the minimum for a dryad to like your ass. And it's like, I'm like, what? I want dryad, man. I want you like, gee, what? Wooden ass? Is this what you're at? Okay. You know,
I tried.
Yeah.
I wasn't into women.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
She only wanted men.
She
was after me.
Yeah.
So
she was after me first. You were my leftovers.
Wow.
I do think that we threw Kyle a massive wrench. Well, I didn't do it. It was personally Paige that did it, which was at this key point, they decided to switch alignments and gods and basically vow to the evil god in the dungeon, which has screwed up so much stuff for Kyle. Because like,
I'm sorry, you mean like while they're with the dryad?
No, this was
no,
this is when
separate.
Okay, sorry.
There was a tomb of a bad guy, and who's your patron now?
Zotzalaha.
Zotzalaha. So they basically like switched gods and started to worship Zotzalaha and made a bargain with him to get through the dungeon.
Oh, okay. So I thought the DM was being terrible because I know the room the dryad's in, and it's one of those sloping floors, like a pool, a public pool where the one end's very shallow and the other end's deep, and she's in there, and you wade in, and I'm thinking of like a baptism, right? You wade in and there she is and you come out worship, and the DM's and now you worship an evil god. Ha ha. Reverse baptism naiad sex. Like, what? God,
but
he's a genius.
She was only nice to us because
she was only nice
over to
because
the dark side.
Of Zotzalaha.
But I mean, I didn't really follow a god. You were the fallen angel.
Yeah, you changed from Kinijacha to Zotzalaha.
Which is the sun god.
Yeah.
So I went from the sun god to the darkness.
You're like, bye.
Running towards
There's a big wrench because we've kind of switched. Like, if you think about a party, kind of switched how the characters would deal with the like dungeons, like, you know, normally would kill things or they would attack us right away. We've had some really interesting conversations because it's like, I see you're a Zotzi dude too.
Let's be friends
instead of like automatically killing.
I try to make friends with everything.
Diplomacy is underrated. No, that's awesome. That is really awesome. And especially if you're playing something that's classic that everyone's run through, for you guys to stay there, like, oh, we did it differently or like with a little different of an angle. That's brilliant. No, hats off to you guys. We're getting off topic. My fault. I know. a couple optional questions. If you don't mind asking, I really enjoy finding out mid interview what people do for a living, what pays the bills, you know, what bought the dice, you know, what, you know, everyone's a nerd on a Friday night, but it's like, you know, the 9 to 5 kind of thing. So starting with Mary Claire, what?
So I've done a variety of roles within HR my whole professional life, kind of worked my way up. But what I'm actually responsible for now is solutioning for technology systems for HR and building the processes that are supported by systems.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
so that's what I do now.
Yeah, no, that's good. No, Aaron, when you're not stump double for, you know, whatever Superman movie's about to tank, what do you do for us?
God. Yeah, for me, I'm doing IT, and I've been doing IT for the past 10 years now. I started, I think they have some out there in Toronto. Memory Express, I think, is the thing in Toronto. But yeah, I've worked at Memory Express and I work for a financial institution here in Calgary doing IT.
Cool. And Paige?
I won't go into too much detail because I don't want people to stop watching you. But I also work for a financial institution here in Calgary. That's how Aaron and I met.
Office romance.
Yeah, entirely same team. Yep. I have been working at a bank for, I think I'm coming up on 8 or 9 years. So
cool.
Yeah.
Leave them. Cause I'm telling you, honey, with that Colgate smile, you could just, you know, don't let your association with Aaron hiding under Mary's brilliance drag you down. You could just break out with those cheeks, I'm telling you. But
I'm trying. I mean, if anyone wants to hire me for voice acting, let me know.
Well, you know, funny you should ask. One thing I always love, and usually I do this off camera, but you guys have been really good sports about, like, I really kind of was supposed to step left and behave, and I really kind of step right and misbehave and went off on way too many tangents. So I'll tell you live. Anyone I interview, we always ask, you know, would you like to do a walk-on cameo as an NPC in any of our shows? Whether there's cool, like a favorite, you know, because like, oh, you know, you're doing Mummy's Mask. I love this character. How are you doing? I'm like, well, how would you like to play them for 5 minutes? You know, but getting someone to commit for 2 or 3 weeks to get the character done on like a Friday night or a Monday night is usually next to impossible. But I do find that selling our Star Wars pod cameo idea is really good currency out there. People are like, not that Mary would be interested, I'm sure, but, you know, like, having you guys. So, you know, hopefully, like, the idea of this is that your listeners get to see this and hear this and learn a little bit more about the player and the lifestyle of the voice actor / player behind the characters that they already enjoy. And I get free content from you, so everybody wins. You've been
winning all around.
You've been listening to half the cast. The other are hiding with the GM or holding him down from jumping in on the camera of Tavern Tales, the live play D&D podcast. And I just want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. You've been a really, really great cast, for putting up with me, if not being entertaining, if not, you know, carrying Aaron through most of the interview. You know, that's why I insisted that you guys do it with him.
It's common practice.
I carry Aaron a lot at home and in game.
Oh, okay.
Just generally in life.
Just generally in life.
I'm just here.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And say goodnight, Aaron.
Good night, Aaron. Good night, everybody.
You can't even give me that. You can't even do that for me. That's just, I'm sorry. That's just, call my agent. I can't work with this unprofessional.
What you could, you had like two actors here who could have said goodnight, but you picked.
And I asked you to ask the stunt double. I asked you to say two words, goodnight.